What's poppin', my Freeform Renegades? You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thanks for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I am your host, Noel, with my co-host, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Taking this nice 80-degree day, man, and enjoying it, man.
And we got Andy here.
Hey, it's all good, Andy, and we're backing Adam. Sometimes, you know, you need to feel like you're wanted, and when I joined this earlier, a couple minutes ago, I did not feel the love, so I'm kind of down about it, but I'm here to do my job.
Well, let's see if we can change that around. It's another nice day here in Chicago, so wherever your listeners are, we hope you're sitting cool, feeling good, and let's get this ball rolling. So, Andy, why don't you kick it off for us? Well, what have you been up to recently?
So recently, we've been, it's spring here, springtime, and there's a new football league, which we were kind of talking about, me and Dan, because, you know, we love football. And
like soccer football?
No, like American football. This I know this podcast goes international.
Right.
But, you know, there's only one football, and it's American football. I know that upsets some of our European listeners and such, but it's okay. They get upset when you call it soccer, but hey, who's gonna fact check me, right? So yeah, we had a new league this year, the USFL. I mean, they got some teams out, and the first 2 weeks, there's most of the games, besides the biggest challenges, were to fucking watch them, watch some of these games.
I was surprised that it was on a bunch of networks.
Yeah, so it's spread out. It's still, the times are kind of challenging. And I guess they're all playing in the same stadium in Birmingham or something. It's kind of fucking weird because the first 2 weeks, the stadium has been rather empty. But the football, the football play has been kind of lackluster, disappointing. You see some flashes here. I watched some highlights yesterday. I noticed a couple things 2 weeks in a row. The offenses take a while to get going. Once they get going, they score in spurts. But I do notice one of the things that caught my instance, there's a lot of fumbling and a lot of missed field goals and a lot of missed extra points. And I did find out that they did something to the football. They put a chip in there. Did you hear about that, Danny?
Right. So it can get a digital first down. Yes. And then they're working on making it glow. Like, I don't even remember NHL, how when the puck would move. Yeah, how it would glow on the TV.
So, but apparently this thing is like the size of a golf ball.
Right.
What I understood from it. And,
well, there is one in the NFL footballs as well, but they use it more for that stat track, mm-hmm. you know, like that Amazon stat track stuff.
Right. And it is, like I said, the highlights I watched from yesterday, man, they must have had like three or four fucking fumbles in that game. It was crazy. And the field goals and the kicking is just like all over the place. And, they're complaining the ball is heavier than the NFL one. And, like I said, it's just, it's the football play along with that kind of makes me feel like I wasn't expecting NFL caliber. I thought it was going to be a little bit more high scoring, but I don't think we're going to see that. I mean, the only good thing is that they stay, they're usually within one possession most of the games. And the defense has been pretty good. It's just that offense is just, I see the quarterback play has been really bad overall, and they've been running the ball rather decent, and their throwing has just been, it's been lackluster.
Right. You got to remember, these are guys that are not in the NFL for some reason. So you're not going to get that NFL explosion stuff. And I saw yesterday they scored their first 3-point after touchdown.
Yeah.
So they actually scored 9 points on a touchdown run, which was kind of cool. I kind of dig some of the new differences, you know, like they actually take kickoffs, unlike the NFL where they don't have kickoffs. Well, they have kickoffs, but they're so upfront that by the time they get down there, nobody ever returns it. They change some of the onside stuff. So I'm kind of excited. But I agree with you. I think the stuff that I've seen so far, and I haven't seen an entire game, it does look a little amateurish, but it's to expect it, I would think.
I like the drone flying around. Like, that's pretty cool. I like how they have some of the helmets have football. I think they have like a player with a camera in there. And I like when they're reviewing the a play, like if there's like a flag or was he down or did they score? You actually get to hear the conversation of the refs, right? That's pretty cool too. They're pretty open about it. But overall, I'll watch it. I thought it was going to be a little bit better, but I don't know. Maybe down the road they'll tighten it up a little bit and they'll get it rolling. But I feel a lot of it running the ball is probably going to be the most best way because the quarterback play is just – a lot of them has just been horrible. I'm like, yeah, that's why you're not even a backup in the NFL because they're doing, like, major mistakes.
Well, I think the other thing to keep this from being really, really good is that there's also the XFL. So they're fighting for backups of backups that aren't in the NFL. So if you got two leagues that are kind of stretching a pool of not that great players even thinner than it is, then you're going to get guys like me going out there like, yeah, I can run, coach, put me in kind of thing. And you're going to get that kind of play, you know?
I mean, the only cool thing is they cut a player because they were offering chicken salad and he wanted pizza. And the coach is like, I'm not going to hear it. I don't know what happened, but we're cutting you. And he just walks out and the guy's like, this shit for real? I'm getting cut because I didn't eat chicken salad and I wanted pizza? Like, you heard about that, right?
No, I didn't hear about that.
So they're recording, like, you know, the NFL does the training camp series.
Right.
Hard Knocks. Well, they're doing that for this. I don't know if it's like throughout the year or something, but there was an incident where a player got cut because he said that he spoke to somebody in catering, like he bullied him or something. And then the coach is like, verbally like confrontational and we don't tolerate that. And he's like, can I tell my side coach? He's like, well, it don't matter what happens. He's like, we don't tolerate that. And he goes, well, let me just tell you what happened. He goes, like, yeah, we're going to bring what's for dinner or something. He goes, it's chicken salad. And he's like, I don't want chicken salad. Like, I want pizza. And then they're like, we're not offering that. And he's like, you're not offering pizza. And he goes, nah. I guess the guy complained that he backtalked him or something. They're like, we don't tolerate this. Like, you're fucking done. And they fucking cut him. And the guy was just like, they show the camera there and he's just like, I can't believe this is happening. You know? Like, I'm getting cut because I didn't eat chicken salad. Like, that's how they were spinning it and it was trending on Twitter. And I was just like, man, that you know, you're making enough for trying to make a run of it, trying to be a professional football player, and you're going to get cut or fired because you didn't have fucking chicken salad.
Chicken salad is kind of disgusting. I don't really care for it too much myself.
Damn, man. Just like that, man. So they go to you like, you want chicken salad? You're like, I don't want that shit.
Well, I mean, if they don't have anything else, then I'll eat it. But if I got a choice between chicken salad and pizza, I'm going to have me some pizza.
Well, that's the problem. Like, and then USFL is a startup. They have like base salaries and like there's no union. So that like that's it. Like, what are you going to do? You can't even appeal this or anything. So it is what it is, you know, and the guy is, it just sucks, dude. Like, I felt kind of bad for him, but I mean, again, I don't know, the strict rules that they have for him. And, you know, it just goes the challenges of trying to make the NFL is like already a hard thing to make. You're trying to keep your dream alive, so you're gonna play like in this, and then you just get cut
before it starts. I'm sure, know? It could have been performance, maybe during practice he's not stepping up, so it could have been a ton of things. But maybe this
you can see that, look it up on YouTube. The coach is like, I don't want to hear no more, we made our decision and you're effective immediately, like you're cut. And it was, they were talking about performance. And he was talking about his attitude and tone when he was ordering this food or whatever the fuck was going on. And that was the case. And the coach was like, I'm not hearing it. We're done. You're cut. You know, good luck to you. And the coach just literally just walked out of the meeting. Wow. And there was him there and that somebody else. I'm assuming it was the GM or something. And yeah, he was pretty much done.
There has to be more to it. Like, he had to have been like a real asshole or something.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, if it was performance based, okay, like Danny said, like, or this, he wasn't putting effort. He wasn't giving it 110%, whatever the case may be. But this, I'm with kind of like with you guys. There's probably something brewing in the background. Something, we'll get the full story because it's kind of hard to believe that. I think this is the one that broke the camel's back, and like, we're fucking done with this guy.
Well, just like the players are kind of like backups of backups, these coaches got to be somewhat the same as well, where these guys, they're not coaches good enough for college and NFL. So these guys are, you know, coaches at my son's high school kind of thing. So they could just be doing rookie mistakes, and maybe this coach fired them for something really dumb. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but, you know, it sucks, and hopefully it'll get better. And down the road, I'll watch some more, and I'll keep a tab on it for our listeners. And if you guys got input or what, let us know what you think at ffnquestions@gmail.com. But let's switch it up a little bit. I'm gonna go to Danny here. What's going on with you? I see you've been watching a lot of stuff. What's going on? What do you? You got a list here. What have you been watching, and what do you hate, or what do you like?
Yeah, I've been watching a ton of stuff. Spring is around the corner, but winter's still here, so it's still kind of cold. And I actually watched one that Noel recommended, that Don't Look Up, and I gotta say, man, it was a really good movie. That's the
80s movie, right? No.
No. I don't know what the time period is. I would think it's current.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of social media and tech and stuff like that. It's that one with Leonardo DiCaprio and then that Jennifer fat guy Lawrence. From Jennifer Lawrence, and then that bigger guy, the fat guy from
he's not fat anymore, but Jonah Hill.
Well, he's not super skinny either, but
it's nowhere what he was, man.
Right. Yeah.
Let's just say he's overweight.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, he definitely lost some pounds, so he's looking better for sure. But yeah, Don't Look Up, and yeah, man, it was really good, and it was just like you said, it was that Idiocracy kind of hint to it, where people would rather stick their heads in the sand and kind of be dumb rather than admit the obvious and kind of go by with the science.
Ignorance is bliss, huh?
Right. There was a lot. I don't want to re-go into it since Noel kind of described a lot of it into it, but I really dug it, and I'm glad I watched it. So for any of you guys that kind of liked Idiocracy, go check Don't Look Up. Pretty cool movie. Really good, you know, film altogether. But something else that I watched actually yesterday was the Ambulance movie. That just came out recently, and man, it was pretty okay, goodish, maybe like a 6-7, maybe something like that. It wasn't nothing great, but I dug it. And after the movie was totally over, and then the credits started rolling, and it said directed by Michael Bay, I was just like, yes. I didn't even know that, but yes, that was a Michael Bay movie. You could tell right away, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know he was the director, but at the end, I was just like, "Yes, that explains a lot."
Prequel to Transformers? Is it like a ambulance transformer?
No.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle? Anything?
No. It had nothing to do with Transformers. It was kind of a low key movie. I don't think it did great at the box office. The quick premise is that it's this guy that he's a bank robber. So his brother or adopted brother comes to him and is asking him for money. And he's just like, well, dude, I'm just about to go rob this bank. You want to come with me and we'll cut you in. You know, it's like, you know, like $200 million or some ridiculous amount of money. So the movie is them trying to go to this bank, rob it. They end up making their escape through an ambulance. And then that's where the majority of the movie ensues, inside the ambulance. So pretty cool. Some plot kind of things that I didn't really care for too much. Kind of late introduction of characters, you know, like you're already two-thirds of the movie through and they introduce somebody and kind of don't really give them a lot of background and, you know, stuff like that. But it was pretty good. It was a pretty good movie. Good actor. I forget the guy's name that, Yeah, I'd have to Google it. But that one actor, man, he's really good, man. I really like seeing him in movies. He has a lot of emotion in his acting, and I really like seeing him. And any movie that he's really in, it kind of just piques my interest just to see that.
What movies has he been? You talking about
the Jake Gyllenhaal? Yeah, that guy. Yeah that Jake.
He's not a good actor, man.
You don't like him?
No.
Oh man, you like him, Noah?
Oh yeah, he's been in Donnie Darko. He's been in Zodiac. He's been in a lot of good movies, man.
Yeah, man. He's wow, man. Let me make sure that this is the same guy.
Yeah, he has a sister. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Prince of he did the Disney movie Prince of Persia, right?
It's a Persia, the video game.
The video game and movie. He did that. He's done. He's done a ton of movies. I probably like him best than Donnie Darko, but. Other than that, I'm not a big fan of him.
Yeah, the one with the last name, Gyllenhaal. Yeah, Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal, I think it is.
Gyllenhaal?
It's like a Nordic name or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Gyllenhaal or something like that.
Yeah, he's the main guy, and I just like him. I like his personality. I think it's kind of cool to see him in movies. But, yeah.
He was in that movie was he the brothers, right? The soldier
guy? Yeah, I think, yeah, that soldier movie, yeah, where they come back from Iraq or something.
Yeah.
Jarhead, right?
No, there's another one. Yeah, he did Jarhead, but I remember Danny talking about a movie where there's brothers, one of them comes back and he starts banging his brother's wife, and then he comes back and everybody's weird.
Right.
Oh, with fucking Spider-Man.
Yes, or something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
it's right. An oldie, yeah, but that's the only thing I remember what Danny told me, like, old boy started banging his brother's wife. Then he shows up and everybody's weirded out. Nobody's glad he's back. Everybody's weirded out that he's back.
But yeah, man, it was an okay movie. I can't really recommend it too much unless you're a fan of Michael Bay and this Jay character, actor. But I thought it was a good movie. I liked watching it. Kind of on the longish side. I didn't care for it being 2 and change hours. I'm just like, man, this is a lot, man. Even halfway through, it was kind of late in the day, and then I was even telling Alana, I'm like, damn, how much more is left? I paused it, and then when I saw that, there was still like an hour and 20. I'm like, Jesus Christ, man, we've been sitting here forever already, and this thing's still going. I'm like, how much more are they going to show? Like, it's so much of the movie's in the ambulance that towards the end of it, you're just like, something's got to wrap up. How many times can they dodge the cops, go under a tunnel, jump over this? And, you know, it got to the point where I'm just like, okay, let's wrap this ambulance part up already. Let's just go to the next portion of the movie.
Real quick, Danny. I mean, I'm at an age now where if I see a movie, I actually look at movie times. If it's over 2 hours, I really got to consider, because if it sucks and I'm like, I got to watch it till the end. That's how I am to say the ending, even though that movie sucks.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I rarely stop watching movies. It happens once in a while, but I got to watch it just to say, yeah, I watched the whole thing and it sucked. I mean, do you even look at that?
Think about
watching movies, like, oh, man, it's an hour and a half. All right, cool. Two hours plus, they're like, oh, shit.
I didn't see how long this movie was. I had this and the new Batman movie. So when we sat down for dinner yesterday, I told Alana, I'm like, which one do you want to watch? And the Batman one, I want to watch it, but I also heard that that's super long, so I wasn't kind of feeling it. And when Alana picked Ambulance, I was just like, okay, cool. Let's pick this movie because Batman is long as shit, but Ambulance ended up turning out to be just as long, so I don't know.
Cool.
The last thing I want to kind of mention is in all this TV watching, I felt kind of guilty because Alana was working. She actually worked yesterday. So I put up the storm door in front of my house since the weather was nice. And I got to tell you, man, when I first was looking at it, I was a little bit intimidated. I'm like, man, is this shit going to come out right? Is the story going to be hanging half off the front? And is it going to look kind of shitty? So I was a little intimidated, but the guilt got to me that Alana's working. It's a nice day, and I'm just here vegging out on the couch. So I'm like, okay, let me do something productive. And so I opened up the storm door box. I looked at all the instructions, and I'm just like, I can do this, man. And I hung it up, and, man, you know, knock on wood, thank God, everything came together well, and it looks like it's working well. The only thing is that the latch on the outside kind of gets a little stuck when you open it. It stays on the open position, and it takes a second for it to snap back to the closed. That's the only thing I don't like. So I'll probably open up the handle thing a little bit and see if I can put some WD-40 in there, or maybe the holes aren't lining up quite and it's kind of binding. So I gotta take a look at that a little bit. But yeah, man, kind of proud that everything came together with that.
What you're telling me right now, then, if that thing ain't latching out right, that means you fucked up when you installed it. That's what I'm hearing.
It might have, man. I admit that I was a little worried that, can I do this correctly? So by all means, it could have been something that I did incorrectly. But it works. You know, it just takes a second for it to snap back to the closed position. But
you're one of those guys. Like, I installed it, but when you use it, you got to do it like this and lift it up a little.
You got to jiggle it a little, yeah. No, I'm planning to take the handle apart again. But it was really windy yesterday, so I needed to latch something. Otherwise, I was afraid the wind was going to whip it off my door. You know, freshly installed. So I'll probably maybe adjust it a little bit today, take it apart.
Do you have the gas thing that locks the door, won't let it open, and then you put the spring? Sometimes that makes it weird if it slams too soft or not hard enough.
Right, yeah. Junior helped me install it, so we were kind of fiddling around with the gas pressure. And I think we got it about good where it closes pretty fast, but then it doesn't slam, and it kind of takes a pump or two before it hits the door jam. But yeah, man, cool. I was pretty content with it. So yeah, other than maybe some minor adjustments today, we got the storm door up, man. But that's enough about me, man. Let's jump on over to Noel. Noel, I saw you watch The Outfit. It's a mobster movie. I never even heard of this one. What's this one about?
So yeah, this one came out this year. It's really fresh. So I do recommend you guys, you know, go out and see it if you get a chance. I think it's still in theaters, but if not, you should be able to probably see it hopefully online somewhere. So yeah, it's came out this year. It's a Chicago mobster movie. It's a little under 2 hours, an hour 45 or so. It's got some recognizable actors. You might recognize Mark Rylance. He's been in a lot of movies. He's been in Dunkirk. He's been in Bridge of Spies, The Big Friendly Giant, The Trial of the Chicago Seven. He's a very famous English actor, and he plays an English cutter. It's kind of like an expert tailor, like a tailor that has the ability to make you your own clothes. And so this guy makes like expertly crafted clothes, like outfits, you could say, right? And he gives it to these mobsters that he works for. Doesn't necessarily work for them, but he works in association with them. They use his business as like a meeting place, and it's kind of like the old Irish Italian mob type thing. It's got Zoe Dutch. She's the daughter of what's that lady's name from Back to the Future, the mom.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Something Thompson, whatever her name
is. Leah
Thompson, yeah, that's the daughter of Leah Thompson. She plays the assistant to the Englishman, the English cutter. And then another guy, Dylan O'Brien, he's kind of up and coming. He's been in a few movies. He was in the TV show Teen Wolf, and it was like the reboot for Teen Wolf TV show. He was in that. He was like the best friend of the actual wolf guy. And so it's kind of a pretty decent story. It's just like a kind of like just an isolated story within like a small area. It's not like a huge open world where it's going to take you across different places. It all happens in a few different key areas. I don't want to give away too much because it's kind of a mystery, but it kind of reminds me of like the Black Dahlia type stuff, like those kind of old school like 1920s mobster movies, or just that time period where it's everybody's wearing like a fucking fedora, everybody has a certain swagger. So
story-wise, real quick, is like Sam Giancana involved? What's the premise of the movie? What are they trying to do?
Well, I'll just say what the IMDb synopsis says. It says an expert cutter must outwit a dangerous group of mobsters in order to survive a fateful night, and that's pretty much what happens. Like he gets in a situation and he needs to get out of it. I don't want to spoil it because I think it actually is worth watching at least once. I would give it like a 7 out of 10. I thought it was pretty good. The acting was pretty believable. The English Taylor, he's like a really good actor, so he kind of carries the movie. And is the way he talks, the way he acts, very calm guy. But at the same time, you look at him like, nah, this guy has something about him. He's way too calm. It's interesting. At the very end, everything's revealed, and it's a pretty decent movie. So yeah, I do recommend that. And I've actually been watching a couple movies recently, horror movies. One of them that just came out recently, the Sadness. I believe it's actually released in overseas last year, but it's coming out this year in the U.S. I don't know if it's going to be dubbed or whatever, but I was able to get a copy of when they released it last year. Anyway, I finally got to see it. It's kind of like a mix between 28 Days Later and just like any zombie movie, I guess you could say. Or if you've ever seen the movie Wreck, R-E-C, it's like a Spanish like mix between the zombie and like a demon possession type thing.
So you said it's dubbed, so what's its natural language?
No, I don't know if they're going to do it dubbed in the U.S. It comes out in May.
But it's in English. Oh, okay.
No. They're going to probably do it in English. Right now it's in Taiwanese.
Oh, okay. When you said dubbed, I'm like, man, is this in English? What the hell? What language is this?
Yeah, no. It's a Taiwanese movie. So it's going to be in the Taiwanese language. But anyway, it's kind of like a virus that affects somebody and it spreads like fucking super quick through like saliva or blood, stuff like that.
Like and, COVID quick or what?
No, quicker than that, dude. Like this, you can get sick just by some infected person spitting on you. You can get sick within 60 seconds. You become
like some
possessed, just fucking psychopath, like a maniac. And the thing that's weird, it's like, it's not like zombies or 28 Days Later where they're just mindless and like trying to kill you. These guys, they're actually intelligent. They know what they're doing. They could use their guns, they could use their knives, they could strategize, they could trick you, they could trap you, and they want to rape, they want to kill, they want to fucking drink your blood.
They're going to rape you? Jesus Christ.
Dude, it's insane. Like imagine living in hell. Imagine living in hell. That's essentially what that town becomes. It becomes hell. And the people that are infected are just fucking maniacs, bro. Their eyes look all like demonic. Their eyes look like bloodshot, black and red. It's fucking crazy, bro.
Are they like Jurassic Park, the raptors, and they could open doorknobs and shit, man?
They could do anything, yeah, because they're like Jesus. People. They're like
it's people. An interesting reference, man.
Well, I know it's a big point in the end of the movie. He's like, "Oh, don't worry, they can't open doors." And then the next scene, they just show the dinosaur opening up that door, and he's just like, "Oh shit, yeah, man, this is a whole another level of danger."
No, yeah, these guys aren't stupid, man. They're very intelligent. It seems like. Like it's the virus, the guy explains it throughout the movie. There's a scientist that explains that the virus controls two parts of your brain, the part that enjoys violence or the part that's like, I guess, the reptilian part that just wants to fucking destroy or whatever. And then there's another part that the pleasure part, like the part that wants to fuck and just fucking enjoy pleasure. And so it kind of combines the two. And it enjoys hurting people. So anybody that gets infected becomes like psychotic and they get enjoyment out of making others suffer. and like torturing people, and it's a bloody mess. So is there a lot
of fucking in the movie?
There's a lot of everything.
That's all the rape shit. Yeah.
There's a lot of everything. It's insane, dude. I don't even. I'll say this: some girl gets skull fucked living while alive.
What the fuck?
Yeah, through her eye socket, bro.
Oh man, I was like, wow. Zombie.
I was like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. It's insane. The sadness, and it got pretty decent reviews for what it is. I thought it would be canceled because it's just fucking like that eye socket scene. I'm like, oh yeah, this movie's getting canceled, man. Holy shit. This lady is getting in for it, man.
Yeah, I don't think this is coming to the U.S., man. No way. Jesus.
It's insane. But hey, I've seen a lot of horror movies, so it was, you know, right up there with other movies I've seen. I would probably give it like a 7 out of 10 for showing like everything, man. It was insane. and within it, there's an actual story, right? Like there's like a couple that it starts out with a man and woman that wake up together, and the girl is going to go work, and then the guy is like going to get lunch, and then the shit pops off, and now they're trying to get back together and find each other. And then, yeah, just a bunch of shit happens. And I do recommend it. Once it comes out in theaters over here, you recommend it to see it. Or if not, maybe go on Amazon Prime. Maybe you could do your little VPN and make it seem like you're in Taiwan so you can get that version. But yeah, do recommend that. And, you know, speaking of this virus and, you know, all this craziness, it actually leads into our article of the week. All right. So what we have here is not necessarily an article per se. It's two different videos that we are going to link that we recommend our viewers watch. And ultimately, what we want to kind of bring to light is the fact that there can be misinterpretations for information, and sometimes people can draw conclusions a little bit too early before you can get all the information that's available out there. And so that's exactly what happened here. There was an interview done, and this is from Live World Premiere on Rumble. It used to be on YouTube, but it got taken down, and you know, I'm not surprised that it happened. Although it's kind of bogus because there's a lot of other garbage on YouTube, but they didn't like this video apparently. But this is an interview with Dr. Brian Artis, and it talks about how there's the elite, they're satanic, there's a conspiracy and an agenda going on with COVID. And especially with the vaccine and with the treatment options and the blockade of certain treatment options that are effective. And after watching this, I got to admit, I was actually very concerned. This came out very recently, published April 11th of this year, and it's got over 3 million views. It's on the Stu Peters Network on Rumble.com. If you get a chance to watch it, it's about an hour long. I do recommend you watch it just for a perspective. Keep in mind that there's another video that's been released since then, and this other video kind of goes through point by point and tries to give a different perspective. And this guy comes. This video comes from Peak Prosperity. This person that speaks on Peak Prosperity, excuse me. He kind of goes into detail about how some of these points aren't exactly the conclusions you should be arriving to because there's not enough information to arrive to that conclusion. So, for example, there's claims that the monoclonal antibodies for COVID are made from or are essentially anti-venom. Mm-hmm. They're made with anti-venom components. And the guy draws the conclusion that if the monoclonal antibodies are anti-venom, then COVID or the vaccines must be from venom or snake venom. And the other video kind of debunks that and says, just because some monoclonal antibodies look like venom doesn't mean that they're all anti-venom, doesn't mean that COVID is snake venom. And there's other points here that go down. the conclusions of episode 57 for Peak Prosperity. The video is titled, Is COVID Actually Snake Venom? This guy goes into detail. I don't want to give all the details out. I do think you should watch. It's about almost an hour long as well. And he kind of says, like, a lot of the points that the guy was making, he was drawing conclusions that was not really based purely in evidence. It was kind of like taking it a step further than he should have. He talks about lysophilized powders, how they're white. And he says that the snake venom is white if you make it into a powder. And he's saying that the COVID, what was it? There was like a treatment plan that they use to treat people that have COVID. And he says that that powder is also white. So he kind of.
Yeah, the remdesivir.
Yeah, exactly. And he said that if the powders are white, then yeah, they must be all, you know, associated with each other, which is not necessarily the case because there's a lot of lysophilized powders that are usually white because you like evaporate the water. It's like a freeze-dry method that like kind of evaporates the water, and you kind of use zero pressure, like, so it's, it has like no pressure like at all. And so when you do that, the process kind of removes, I guess, the color, and so they usually all are that white powder. So he kind of debunks that. And I would just recommend you guys watch it. It's very interesting to see just the way this stuff plays out. Like I said, when I watched the first video, after hearing about the snake venom, the satanic elites and all this stuff, it just got my mind racing. It got me thinking like, holy shit, what the hell is going on here? And thankfully this other video came out because it kind of eased my concern. I'm like, okay, not that the other guy was completely lying, not that there isn't some truth to what he's saying, but it's not enough that you can draw that finalized conclusion that, yeah, the COVID vaccines have snake venom in it, or the COVID itself is like snake venom. It's possible that it looks similar, or it has some similar effects, but it's not necessarily a reason to conclude that it is that exact thing. So anyway, after all that is said, what do you guys think about this?
So yeah, like the initial one with the Peters and the other doctor, early on he was talking. When I saw the video, I started watching, he was talking. I mean, it was stuff that we've kind of delved in the past shows, and but there is some, you know, like from my perspective, there's still, when those treat early on, there was a lot of, there wasn't really a lot of treatments. And then they came up with this ventilator stuff. And eventually, the news people didn't really talk about it. It wasn't really brought up. They stopped using them because, you know, there was evidence and data showing that this is not the best thing for this. Like, you know, because it's a respiratory issue. And then the treatments that they were recommending back, you know, in the recent time, the remdesivir or whatever and all that, that's what I'm like, this is the medicine that they were giving the politicians. And the one that first came is Trump. When he had COVID, that's one of the they gave him that whole cocktail that he was talking about. And I know they were giving it to other politicians before the jab came out, if I remember correctly. That was the treatment, and then they kind of got away from it. And then to this day, there's no real treatment, I guess, right? That's like, oh, if you get this, besides go home and don't leave the fucking house and take some aspirin, there's no real, oh, I have it, what do I do? There's still, to this day, no real, like, take this medicine or take that, right? I mean, that, well, me, when I had it, they're like, if you have problems breathing, go to the emergency room. But other than that, just stay home and take some fever reducer shit. And, like, I just took, like, if I had, a fucking flu. And, but there was no real, like, go get this or go get that or hydrochloroquine, which is a big no-no, you know. But to these people, ivermectin, but those were being used to be treated, even though the fact checkers and all this bullshit say it don't do nothing yet. It keeps getting prescribed. That, like, the documentary kind of delves into that fact checking shit too, you know. And like, I don't trust, you know, everybody's heard my opinions on the show, what I've thought about that. So, but yeah, I mean, there was some stuff in there. And then overall, I mean, it was some knowledge, some wealth of knowledge. And then when he started going, it got a little technical for me. And then when he started looking it up, all the definitions, that's why I'm like, oh, man, this is getting a little overwhelmed here.
Right. Nice. Yeah, man. After I saw the first one, the thing that really, which I don't know, nobody's mentioned yet, is at the end he talks about how it's linked to the water system.
Yeah, that
and too. How it's treated yeah. to the wastewater companies for individual cities and
facilities
whatnot.
Facilities and counties.
Yeah, and that this is traveling through the water, and that you know, people that as they drink water off of tap water, they're actually spreading the COVID disease. And when I read that, man, I'm a big tap water drinker. I drink tap water day and night. I drink maybe, without exaggeration, maybe like a gallon of water a day. I drink a lot of water, you know, trying to keep my kidneys and keep everything clean. And, you know, I take medicine because I'm diabetic. So I try to keep everything functional. And they say water is one of the best things you can do. So at the end of the documentary, or the first one, if you want to call it that, it mentioned how it's going, it's traveling through the water. So it kind of freaked me out a little bit. I'm like, man, should I be drinking water? I'm like, how did Noel even find this video, man? Is this like real, or is this just some crackpot guy that, you know, it kind of reminded me of that lady. I don't know if you guys ever seen that video where she's talking about Monster Energy drink and how the three lions are like double. The line of Satan, and, yeah. You know.
It's here, an oldie, but yeah, I've seen it before.
If you flip the can upside down, it shows the sign of the mark of the beast, and yeah. Then it's – she, like, shows all this evidence, and she has, like, pictures and stuff like that, and she's describing about how all these things link to that Monster Energy, the company, is by the devil. So – it's fascinating to see stuff like that sometimes, because you see how people connect these dots, whether it's based in, you know, fantasy world, like you're not really kind of linking things correctly, you know, kind of to the second video is alluding that this guy didn't really establish all the data correctly. Like, oh, this powder's white. Well, that one is white as well. Oh, it must be this. Oh, they didn't want me to continue researching into this. Oh, they're trying to block me from finding the truth. Stuff like that. So I do agree that it's very easy to find misinformation or people that speak trying to explain. But in the same token, I do feel that sometimes when the truth is being spoken and the mass media or the people, the notorious guys, the guys out there trying to kill everybody, supposedly, I could see them trying to block that message. You know, kind of like many years ago, there was that guy that had developed that engine that ran on like water or piss or something. And then supposedly they stole all his data like the next day that he was going to show a press conference to show his technology. Stuff like that. I think stuff like that exists, man.
He died of a heart attack then. And he said his last words are like, they fucking killed me, and he died. And then like
right.
He came and took over. They came and raided his house or whatever and took everything, allegedly. But going back to what you said with the water, that was, to me, I was like, well, this makes sense to me. I've never really heard of that because no one talked about it, and how the CDC or I forget who is tracking all these wastewater treatment facilities, and they know, they test it, and then like your fecal matter or your urine, they're like, oh, these people are COVID. And then from there, they were able to predict we see a surge coming from COVID, or they're expecting something to happen. And to me, that made sense, because how many times have we heard about on water, like at the facilities, that everything that we you know, caffeine and the drugs, and they know that they start looking into lakes and where all this water goes through, and it's impacting animal life because they have caffeine and drugs in them, because the water treatment doesn't really get all of it, and there's still remnants of it. So to me, that kind of, I mean, going, I didn't do it like this big, deep research, but that made sense to me. Like, to me, because we've seen articles, you know, we know they put fluoride, who knows what else they put in there. But when they go through all these facilities, they're trying to remove stuff, they don't obviously don't get everything, but there's plenty of, I remember reading stuff that there's plenty of research done that shows that, yeah, there's caffeine in the water, and there's the medicines that we take, all the like Oxycontins and all that, that all, they don't get it all out, and it goes back into the water, and people are, you know, where they see evidence first is like through fishes and all this stuff.
Yeah, no, it's insane, man. Just like, it got me worked up too. And then he goes into like the description of like how coronavirus translates to like cobra venom and stuff like that. And I was just like, dude, this is
the mitre. Yeah.
Yeah, man. It just kept like making connections, and it got me to believe it. And the way they present it, like, if you watch the video, like halfway in the middle of the video, they start showing like excerpts of like studies and shit. Like he's like showing it in a way where it's very believable to the average person. Like, he's showing articles and like different excerpts from articles and like backing up what he says. And so I'm just like, oh shit, so this has to be real then. Right. And then come but to similar, find out, like, yeah.
Yeah, but similar to the second video, he also brought out a lot of charts, a lot of pictures, a lot of excerpts off of medical documents. So it gives you that feeling like, who do you believe?
Well, that's the whole thing, right? Like, that's the whole reason I wanted to bring this up, is like, we're in this era of massive amounts of information being put everywhere, and if you look for it, you will find it, you know? Like, it's out there. It's just, what do you believe? Like, do you believe, you know, person A or person B or person C or Z?
Yeah. And that's what big tech right now, everybody's up arms against, especially on the conservative side, how they block, they ban people, they take down stuff. And like, when everybody like, and they keep citing like, this is messing up our democracy, because it can be manipulated. But if you start selecting who's the official voice of what's good, what information is right and not, you're really like fucking screwing. I feel like you're screwing things up, because then that's how you get all this craziness. Like, with a lot of it might be bullshit, or some of it, there's some truth into it. And that's how you get those flat earth videos, and people like, oh, this guy makes sense to me. The earth is flat. And like, I like, he says it out there. Let him get, you know, let him get ridiculed. Let people, like, I can't, like, you see videos, I can't believe we have to do this, but let me show you this and this. But I've never flown to space. I mean, like, I've been told the Earth's round, but I've never seen it be round. But people tell me it's round, like, right? And then some people start thinking like that, and then they're like, oh, man, maybe this guy's right.
Right.
You know?
What I thought was...
That's the problem.
What I thought was good after the first video is that he gave a list of things that you can take for protecting yourself against snake venom. And I think some of these are even good just for common sense to take. Like, zinc is on there. There's also this other quercetine, vitamin C. So I know those.
Vitamin D.
Well, vitamin D is not on this list, but that's another good one. Vitamin E is a good one to take as well. You know, I think if the government was pushing more of that to your common Andy, where when you had COVID, they just told you take Tylenol and then call us if you're dying, you know, kind of thing. They should be promoting improvements of health generally on people so that you could combat shit like this. And I think these vitamins, there is science behind it. Why not promote that stuff and be like, okay, you want to help yourself in case you do get COVID, take these 6 vitamins and they will help you, you know, in case you do get COVID. It's not going to stop it, but this will help.
Yeah, but that's the problem. People, especially in today's society, common sense is kind of gone. So they want, I don't want to say the government's evil, but I mean, I don't know what else to call it, but they just want to take this. I think they made up their mind, like, we got to give people the jab. And, like, there was people out there promoting, like, build up your immunity, take zinc, take this, go get some sun, you know, go get some sun rays when they're telling people to stay home, get their vitamin D and because all the studies and everything, they're deficient in like vitamin D, zinc, and all this other stuff. And then that means your immune system's like not at its peak working, and they told you to take that stuff, and they laughed at those people, like, these people don't know what the fuck they're talking about, along with, you know, the whole discussions we had with the mask. Does it work? It doesn't prevent stuff, maybe. I mean, it's not like this be all end all safe. I mean, it might work a little bit, but it's not like it prevents anything. And there's been discussion about that and fact checkers and all that. It's just, I think they said we got to get the jab, and this is really gonna this be all end all one thing you need to do. And the more people we get to do it, this is gonna end. And obviously, it didn't really. I don't want to say it didn't really work. I think it's just it wasn't as effective they thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely, the government doesn't care about us. They're not going to suffer from inflation. They're not going to suffer from a lot of the things that they're the cause of. And there's a lot of concern with the vaccine even to this day. Like, after all this time, what are people on the fourth dose? You know, and now they're still talking about like quarterly doses, monthly doses, giving it to like newborn babies. And I'm just like, this is insane, dude. This is on another level. And Peak Prosperity actually does a video on that as well, about myocarditis, vaccine myocarditis damage persists in children. That's the name of the episode, episode 55. It came out 3 weeks ago. It's a 45-minute episode. I'll probably watch that and go into detail for a different video that we do. But it's just crazy times, man, and it's hard to know who to believe, hard to know who to trust. And that's why I think, like, all you can really do is get information from multiple sources and kind of draw your own conclusion. Use that brain of yours and like use it to the fullest potential to try to draw the best conclusion you can.
And real quick, I mean, I'm because we saw this conversation with the guy you recommended. Noah, there's a new documentary that's coming out regarding whatever your thoughts are on the 2020 election. It's called something like 2000 Mules. Have you guys heard about this?
No,
they actually claim to have video of people of ballot stuffing votes into like mailboxes, and they have recordings of people going to like where you go put ballots at like 2-3 in the morning, people just throwing in ballots for the election.
Who's making the documentary?
It's that Indian gentleman, that Dinesh Sosha or something.
Oh, like on Netflix or something, or
I don't know. I he has movies on Netflix. It's called like 2000 Mules, and he has evidence of people. And the trailer, I saw the trailer. People are stuffing the ballot box, which was kind of what they were talking.
I remember seeing videos during the election because it especially in those really tight races. Come midnight, and when I woke up in the morning, all my YouTube videos were popping up with these people like just taking the boxes home on vans, and then they were bringing them back in the morning, and they had video because there was people like filming the entrance, entrance, whatever. I don't know what this documentary is going to show, but I saw a lot of weird videos where
people who you mail by vote, you know, that thing, and he's just like unloading like hundreds and hundreds of envelopes into the
right. No, I'm talking about at the polls. I saw videos that had people taking the boxes that people dropped their ballots into, taking those home. Now, I don't know if this is some stock video and, you know, somebody would have to investigate, but
thousands, you know, and like thousands of them in the documentary is going to go into depth about it. But I was just like, again, like that's another big no-no, 2020, the election with the fact checking and like, who do you believe? There's a big chunk of America that still doesn't believe in this and that. And so
I guess what I'm trying to say is just like this video, just because he puts it out there, it doesn't mean that it's the fact, you know?
Yeah.
You have to use a little common sense just watching this video, just because you see some guy shoving ballots into a box. Is he actually at the voting polls? Is it, you know, you never know what's going on.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And like, one of the trailer, like, who votes at like 3 in the morning, right? Who goes in like, and this guy is like, they have videos of people covered, like they got their hoodies up and like masks, like, you know, because it's during the pandemic and it gets a little weird. But I mean, I don't know. I'm interested in seeing it. And it's going back to like what like Noah was talking about. Like, there's so much information. How do you process all this? What do you believe in that? That's like the big problem right now.
Well, kind of bringing it back to Noel's videos, the other thing that I thought was weird is that they both agreed in that they don't 100% agree with what the CDC is saying. And they were saying a few other federal, you know, organizations, and you know, a bunch of them. And they're like, we don't agree with what they're doing and what they're recommending. So go out there and find your research or whatnot. So there is a lot of misbelief on what the government is telling us to do, for sure.
And there's a lot of people shitting on that now. When you do your own research, some people like roll their eyes, and that's like the next thing. Like, oh, you know more than these people. Like, people just think that you're fucking dumb.
To me, it's like, it's not about knowing more than anyone else. It's not like a competition. It's that we want to work together to understand what's going on and not just be left in the dark, completely submissive and dependent on someone else to give us every single answer. If you remember WALL-E, that movie WALL-E,
yeah,
it's showing me like that shit could happen, dude. People are getting more and more towards a reliancy on others, where you're sitting back, you're just like, what are they saying? Okay, that's what it is. Okay. And it's just like, dude, like, you gotta look for this stuff yourself. And yes, listen to other people that are credible, but don't just take everyone else's word for it. Like, do your own research as well to, you know, make sure that what they're saying is backed up by other people as well. When anything happens scientifically, it goes through a peer review. So there's multiple people looking at it. And my hope is that with this video, both of these videos out, there's going to be a lot more people discussing this kind of stuff. And maybe we'll get down to the, you know, the actual bottom conclusion of whether or not it's valid to even believe about the snake venom and all that stuff.
I mean, go ahead, Danny.
I was just going to say, it's kind of like the movie Don't Look Up. In the movie, there's people that think they're conspiracy theories, and they're like, you need a peer review to check this out and validate the data. And the one Amazon CEO guy, not the Amazon guy, but the guy in the movie that plays that character.
He's supposed to be Elon Musk.
Like, oh, it's supposed like to be Elon Musk? Oh, no, I took him as the Amazon character guy. Oh, okay.
Well, it's like a combination, I guess, like a merging of both of them, like a very rich but scientific person.
Okay, yeah, right. And, you know, he doesn't want to do the peer review. He doesn't want to have studies because he doesn't want all his data being challenged. And it's kind of like you mentioned, sometimes you need that peer review to kind of validate what you're saying and make sure that you're not just speaking BS.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people can't handle it, especially in today's world. It's people don't like to get challenged, and that's the problem. And as soon as you go you contradict people or you challenge them, you're labeled a lot of fucking things, and you know, and then just that's when bullshit happens, or there's some type of victimhood, or the thing is even the study or whatever you presented is racist. So there's just so much bullshit. Nothing is much as facts driven as much as it used to be, or even open to any type of dialogue, because people just shit on it as soon as you start contradicting them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think sometimes these so-called experts, you know, like these wrestling experts that can't take up to questions. You know,
hey, man, I did pretty good on that one, man.
I mean, I'm not talking about you, Andy, man. Why are you feeling guilty, man?
you're insinuating that. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, man.
I'm just saying, man. Sometimes you need a peer review, man. Make sure your shit's okay.
My shit will hold up to any scrutiny. But with that being said, we're going to have to end this this week's show, because I'm being targeted here by racists and challenging my know-how and expertise on everything wrestling. But we want to thank you guys for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Also, send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. There you can send all the emails regarding Danny and challenge him and his expertise and the things he claims to know about here at Freeform. And you can check out our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There, we're on so many platforms I can't keep up. I don't even know what people use anymore. You know, we're on YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, iHeart, Spreaker. We're on all that. I just know they're being consolidated and being bought up and consolidated. But whatever you do, always like, subscribe, comment, you know, hit us up. Let us know. That helps us out immensely. We got Freeform Radio. We got Danny.
Yes, sir. Go out there, guys. Enjoy your time. Spend some time with the family.
And then we got Noel.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. And just keep doing your own research. Keep awareness of what's going on.
And we got It's All Good, Andy. We want to thank you guys for listening. You know, again, hit us up. Email us. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. That helps us out. And then you guys enjoy your weeks, and we'll talk to you next time.
That was cool, Dad.